Yes, Father, we pray for a fresh anointing of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We pray as we begin this new year that we would reach up and grab you by the hand and follow you. God, that you would instill within us a joy of our salvation and God's strength and commitment to truly be disciples of Jesus. I pray that you would speak to every person that is here today and every person that will listen to this series on the podcast at some time down the future. Father, you don't need walls. You can break through all those barriers. But Father, we ask that you would penetrate our hearts this morning. Speak to us as individuals. Speak to us as a church. May your will be done in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, thank you for that. I think it's a great way to start the new year. Amen. Here's another thing. I want you to take a look to your left and take a look to your right. And I want you to just observe and look at intently the person to your left and to your right. And I'm going to ask you a question. All right, here's the question. Does the person sitting next to you look like you? Yes. And no. Yes and no. The person sitting next to you looks like you because what? They are a human being. Okay? And no, because they look different than you. They don't have the same face. I noticed some of you had to turn away real quickly when you looked at the other person's face. Nobody looked up here. I don't know. But you know, everybody is different. And some, have similarities, and just like every human have similarities, every church has similarities, okay? But God makes each church unique. He creates them, he adds to the body as he sees fit, and he brings individuals together to make us look like he wants us to look. Think about it. You can go down 287 South and not too far down on the left, just past Midlothian. You'll look on the left, and there's a cowboy church. Many of us, if we went in there dressed the way that we're dressed, we would not look like them. If you go to pretty much any First Baptist, if you don't have a coat and tie on, you would be recognized as a guest. When you come here with a coat and tie, guess what? We know that you're a guest. It doesn't mean that that anybody's wrong or anybody's right. It just means that we're different. Amen. See, God has different ways that he wants to reach people, and he does that, and I think God loves a kaleidoscope. I think God loves a puzzle that comes together. I think God loves different. The similarities and the uniquenesses of an individual or a church, though, is determined by the DNA. How many of you, we know that term, DNA, right? I won't ask you how many of you know what the term is, because I'm going to tell you that in just a minute. But, connect, we're going to act like and look like and respond differently than maybe the church down the road. That's okay. But we've got to figure out who it is that God wants us to be and then be all of that with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But we probably first need to, as we look at the DNA, we need to know what that is. It's a really interesting word. I've practiced this, so I have to tell you this because I've been practicing so hard. It's deoxyribonucleic acid. Say that real quick 5 times, right? And this deoxyribonucleic acid is a molecule. If you're in, is that how you pronounce it? That's how the dictionary said to pronounce it. But I was studying this week, and I tell you what, my mind exploded. There's so much out there that is well beyond my grasp. I am a preacher for a reason. I'm not a biologist or a doctor, and you should say praise God. But what's its purpose? This molecule is made up of simply just 4 building blocks. 4 building blocks: cytosine, thymine, guanine, and adenine. And these 4 come together, and they begin to encode and store genetic information that governs a living organism's functions and development. These things come together, and when they're all working the way they're supposed to, it helps the organism, the living organism, become what it's supposed to be and act the way it's supposed to act. DNA, our DNA, it's our genetic code. It's our blueprint for life, if you will. It's our biological blueprint. It's our life's ingredients. And every single one of us, just as you look again at each other, every single one of us have a very unique DNA. Most of it matches, about 99%, but that 1% that makes each of us unique, God instilled in us because He loves your uniqueness. DNA, it's the very center of being a person, of being human. DNA is what makes us human before we ever do anything. Now think about that for a second. See, at church, we always talk about doing. I think God wants us to be before we do. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But when a baby is born and those genes are implanted and that baby comes, that there's not a lot that that baby can do. He does some things well, cries and you know what else. But he's not yet becoming all that he is. He begins a maturation process. And DNA, probably if I were to ask you to give me an example of DNA, you'd say CSI. CSI, you know, it's what they use to define a killer. And all of us have DNA. You've left DNA sitting in your seat this morning. Did you know that? You cannot help, if scientists and came in, investigators, forensic scientists came in, they would be able to meticulously, having your DNA and the DNA they found in your seat or on your worship folder or on your water bottle or on your coffee cup, they would be able to identify that you were here. DNA is a deciding molecule. It decides your gender. It decides your color. It decides your height. It has influence into your girth, your width. Some of us, like me, got more in that area than others, okay? But it is our skin color, our physical capabilities, our ethnicity. DNA decides a lot of those things, and it has really three major functions. And we're going to talk about those and relate those to our function as a church. And then we're going to hone down over those over the next several weeks. Number one is that one of its functions is identification. Number two, it's reproduction. And number three is transformation or development. And everybody who's here this morning or who will listen to this on a podcast, every one of us, as I said, have physical DNA. Every one of us. But each of us, I don't know if you know this or not, but each of us also have what I call a spiritual DNA. See, as Christians, when we were born again, with a spiritual DNA that tells us who we are. Who are we? We are the people redeemed by Jesus Christ who belong to Jesus Christ. That's who we are. And when you're born again, you're born into that family, and at the center strand of everything and every part of who we are is supposed to be Jesus Christ. That's our DNA. He is at the center, and He directs all of the development and the identification and the function and all of that. Everyone here has spiritual DNA. And throughout the New Testament, we see how Paul often used these terms of spiritual with the biological. Let me give you a couple of examples. John 3, verse 3, Jesus says, "I assure you, unless you are born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We know this was Nicodemus, and Nicodemus, who was very scholarly and worldly, went to Jesus, Jesus just cut right to the chase and said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. You got to get the new DNA when you're born again." 1 Peter 1:23, "You have been born again." He's talking to believers. "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul told the church at Corinth, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come." See, when you and I are born again, there is an exchange that occurs. There's an exchange that occurs of our DNA, if you will, where Jesus becomes the center. See, when we were in our physical nature, who's at the center? We are. It's all about me and my and I. But when God gets a hold of our hearts and we recognize that we are separated from our Creator and we acknowledge that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we've missed His mark, and we confess that to Him and ask Him to take control, there is an exchange, if you will, of DNA that occurs. He comes in through the power of the Holy Spirit and takes up residence in our life, and He exchanges the worldly for the spiritual and the eternal. And He becomes the center. And when that exchange occurs, something also begins to change. We do. If there is no change in our lives, I suggest to you that there is no Christ in our lives. There is no way, based on the Word of God, that Christ can be in us and us not change. There is a DNA swap. Things begin to take on a different view. Christ's DNA begins to make us unique. Uniquely how? Like Him. My son's not here this morning, but if you were to look at him, you would know that he belongs to me. He's uniquely like me, yet he's different, and that's okay. You see, if we truly possess the DNA of Jesus, then what we just read, His great commission, will become our mission. That'll preach, won't it? Amen? His commission becomes our mission if we are in Christ, and we will, not should, not might, not could, we will begin to act like, walk like, talk like, become like Jesus. That's what happens when God begins, when Jesus is the center of our lives. And so using these scriptures, let me lay the groundwork this morning for what's coming the next 3 weeks. But spiritual DNA, let's talk about DNA's identification. Look at verses 16 through 18, and I want you to pay a particular attention to two words. The 11 disciples, there's the first word. You might want to underline that. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee. As I was reading that this week, I can't wait. We'll be back there in a little over a month. It says, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them, underline them. When they, underline they every time you see it, when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came near and said to them, underline that, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Again, disciples, they and them. Isn't it interesting when God begins to work, sometimes we start asking about who are they, or talk to them. Who are they in this scripture? In this scripture, they are defined by Jesus' DNA. They are defined as disciples of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I suggest to you that our spiritual DNA determines not only who we are, but whose we are. I was looking at some pictures this last night on Facebook, and many of you post great pictures of your kids, and I got news for you. Some of you, even if you tried, you couldn't deny those were your kids. You're a spitting image of you. When we're born again into Christ, shouldn't that be the same, that no one would ever have to doubt who we belong to? We are identified in Christ Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves, who are we? Does our spiritual DNA define who I am? Does it define who you are? And here we see, he says disciples. That's a crucial word. You see, there are all kinds of disciples. People who follow this person, or people who follow this person, or they follow this trend. But what he's talking about, these are disciples of Jesus Christ. Church, that's who we are. Amen? And part of our mission, part of the Great Commission, you walk by it almost every week that you go out, unless you go out the back door. It says our mission here at Connect Church is to make disciples. But it doesn't stop there. It says make disciples of Jesus Christ, who love God, love people, and impact the world. Can I just tell you, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will love God, you will love people, and you will impact the world. And if we're not doing those things, then we probably ought to check out and maybe ask the question, who's your daddy? Disciples or not, there's only two choices. You're either a disciple of Jesus Christ or you're not. There are no other options. You're either following Jesus or you're not. And we as a church, we have committed as a body of Christ that we are going to be the followers of Jesus Christ. We have committed, and in 2019, we want to act like, walk like, talk like, behave like, become more like Jesus than we were in 2018. It's kind of like having a newborn. You want them to grow up. And then later on, when they're teenagers, you want to put them back in the bottle. But, you know, you want them. You'd think something was odd if they didn't mature. It's the same way with believers. And in 2019, God has this plan. He's already in his heart and mind and has etched where we're supposed to go. Our choice is, are we going to be disciples and follow that? God has laid on our hearts as the pastoral team and elder team where we feel like God is telling us we need to follow his plan in this. I love this in chapter 4 of Acts when the church was being birthed. Man, can you imagine? Thousands being added and all the excitement and the energy and, you know, people are just, man, this is, I mean, revival. And it all started not because of somebody that was extraordinary. It was somebody that was ordinary that God used to do the extraordinary. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it talks about how people were observing these individuals. And it says, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men. Let's stop right there. We can pretty much attest. I was reading about DNA, and I realized very quickly, when it comes to biology, I am an uneducated, untrained person. Anybody here, this is like your deal, biology? See, thank you for joining me. It says they looked at them, and they said they knew that they were uneducated. They knew that they were untrained. And they were amazed, and here's this cool part, and recognized something. Because of how they look and how they acted and how they spoke, their DNA coming, not remaining on the inside, but responding on the outside, it says they knew and recognized that they had been with Jesus. You see, our spiritual identity, it identifies us. The question I have to ask us as we begin this year is, when people look at you and when they look at me, do they identify us as having been with Jesus? You say, well, wait a minute. And I've mentioned this last year. Sometimes all it takes is the question mark to arise is when we look at someone's Facebook post or likes. Sometimes the question arises, I'm not sure if they're with Jesus or not, based on a conversation they heard. Sometimes somebody really has a question mark when they get behind Jay McFadden and they don't use their, or get in front of me and don't use a blinker. And how I respond and how you respond. Our spiritual DNA is not to remain just on the inside. Think about it. It is what makes us who we are. It is what identifies us to the outside world. We belong to Jesus, Connect Church. We belong to him. We represent him. And his word says we are his ambassadors. We're not our own. Well, there's a second part about the physical DNA. Not only does it help us, you know, I mean, I envy people who are my age who have full sets of hair. Right, Brother David? You know, that have full sets of hair. When you get my age, when it starts missing here, you start trying to grow it here to compensate. You know, I don't know why people have full sets of hair and why other people don't. I don't know why people have freckles and others don't. I don't know why some people have red hair, some people have blonde hair, except that God created them uniquely with individual DNA. So it identifies us. And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing, because as I said, God created you uniquely, and he wants to use you uniquely. Just like he created our church in as a separate, as this body, an expression of his bride, and he wants to use us in unique ways. But DNA has a second purpose. It's not just to reveal us so we can identify and say, oh, that's Pastor Aleem, or that's, you can put your name in there, that's Brother Carl. Because that's his DNA being manifested. DNA, part of the human process that God instituted way back in the beginning, from the very get-go, DNA, part of its purpose is reproduction. It's supposed to reproduce itself. Again, as I mentioned, my son, I could tell you if he were here this morning, I'd probably have him stand up and embarrass him. Maybe he knew that. I don't know. But you would stand us side by side and you say, okay, that DNA has reproduced. I was looking at some pictures last night from someone else, and I said, man, they can't deny their mom and daddy. They look just like them. Why? Because inside, I believe God has instilled within the human body this desire, this innate drive to reproduce itself. It's why, think about it, that why you and I are here. If DNA had not produced what it was supposed to produce, you and I would not be here. DNA had to be replicated and multiplied and passed on so that new birth occurs, and that's why we're here. And those of us who are parents understand this. Well, look what it says in verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I suggest to you that our DNA declares our lineage, who we belong to, but it also declares a legacy, what we leave behind. DNA is, you can't escape it. We want to leave behind a legacy. I mean, think about it. We all want to know more and more and more where we come from. Anybody here, let's just be honest. Anybody done the, what is it, Ancestry? 23andMe. Okay, I got one. Anybody else? I've been curious about doing it because all my life I've been told that I have Cherokee in me. I went to the eye doctor to get an eye checkup, and he said, man, I didn't realize this. He said there was some kind of squiggly line in my eye. He goes, only those of Indian descent have that. I said, oh, really? Because I was kind of wondering if maybe if I could go back and do myself in 23 or whatever, and they identified a certain percentage of Indian blood, maybe I could send my kids to Oklahoma and get free education. There's no ulterior motivation behind that, is there? We all kind of have this desire, you know. They tell me I don't understand it because they say I'm part Cherokee, but I'm also Scottish-Irish. How is that possible? Somehow it's possible, and we're all curious about our lineage. Where do we come from? Christians, we come from the seed that was planted in our heart by God. And God made us and created us in our own image before we were even in the womb, the Bible says he knew us. That's where we come from. But while we search and we like to know where we come from, we also forget sometimes, what are we going to pass on? What are we going to leave as a legacy? And just like our genetic code reflects aspects of our family lineage, church, our spiritual DNA needs to reflect who we belong to. It needs to be passed on. You know, I'm thankful for the lineage that I have. See, our DNA, our lineage demands multiplication, a legacy. I'm so thankful that God designed us for leaving a legacy. You say, well, maybe you weren't able to have children, but God provided for that. Make disciples. You see, that new birth makes us all a family. Amen. Like we talked to several weeks ago when we merged. Remember when you looked at each other, what did I tell you to call each other? Come on. Cuz. Look at each other and say, hey, cuz. We all belong to each other. We're all a family, but only because of Jesus Christ. As believers, we are drawn together in our DNA, and disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, have something that God instills in them, like he does the physical DNA, that somehow it has this desire and this demand to pass it on, to reproduce. You see, the disciples become disciple makers. The disciples become disciplers. And the question is are you going to leave this next year as we walk into this? Are you committed as an individual and as a church to leaving a legacy? Long after we're gone, our legacy will be looked at of who we belong to and what we left behind. Listen to what Jesus said. This is Jesus. Jesus said, my Father, his lineage, my Father is glorified by this. And then he explains what this is. That you, he's talking to his disciples, he's talking to us even today, that you produce much fruit. Now, he's not talking about going out and being Johnny Appleseed and putting apple trees and orange trees. The fruit that he is talking about is spiritual fruit. It is replicating and reproducing the DNA of Jesus at the center of our heart and passing on those codes that come behind us. Boy, I said that quick. I'm not sure it all came out right. He said, you prove to be what? What does it say? My disciples. DNA proves whose we are and who we are. It identifies us and it desires to reproduce and multiply. Verses 19 and 20. DNA has another very, very important byproduct, if you will, or purpose, and that is transformation. Like I said, when the baby is born, that DNA is inside that human baby. And it begins its work, and it begins to send out that code. It begins to do its work. And I don't fully understand, except God helps do it. He's the one that designed it, so he's responsible for it. And a transformation begins to take place. And as cute as babies are, then they grow to that stage. And I'll never forget when I would come to the door, and my little ones would come and go, Daddy. Daddy, and they'd come and hug me. I love that stage. They were glad to see me come home. And then we hit the teenage years, you know, and it's like, Daddy, or Dad. And now I like the stage we're in now because my kids will call and say, hey, Pops, what's happening? How you doing? You see, there's been a progression. There's been a, and it's supposed to be that way. We're supposed to progress. And we return back to the Father in that progression at some point. There's a transformation that takes place, and we continue doing certain things and acting in the way that this DNA inside of us demands from us. And here in Matthew 28, it says, part of that DNA of Christ is in us. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And he's using some verbs here. Go, make, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe I have commanded you. DNA does require that we do some things. DNA that Jesus is at the center, healthy DNA with Jesus as the center strand, helps us and commands and demands that we do certain things. Our DNA requires doing, but don't miss this. It first requires being. We can never hope to do all that God wants us to be as a church till we settle the question of who we belong to. Doing is supposed to come as a result of being, not the other way around. See, we try that as people who attend church. You know, we go to church and somehow, listen, church going doesn't make you a Christian. Can I just tell you that? Reading your Bible doesn't make you a Christian. Writing a check every Sunday doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross, who was crucified, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again, and you've asked him to come in and take lordship of your life. That's what makes you who you are, and as a result of that, you start doing the things that you do. We try to replicate or model it without being. And we wonder why we get frustrated. I believe in 2019, God is calling you and I into being who he created us to be. And if we will be sold out to him, then as he begins to work in and through us, all this other stuff that we try to do on our own will take care of itself. Our DNA instigates our own growth. See, you can't really be a discipler if you're not a disciple. See, DNA instigates our own growth, but it instills within us the desire to help others grow. We pass on the legacy. In your Christian walk, Paul and others, the writer of Hebrews, got really frustrated when he was talking to those who were followers of Christ, and he looked at them, he said, quit being babies. You're drinking milk all the time. By now, he said, you ought to be eating meat. You ought to be eating steak. You know, you ought to be preparing it. And that's what God expects for us. We can't stay in the crib. It's time to get out of the crib and into the world. You can take that however you meant that. You see, God expects us to be who He says us to be. And it is God, the Bible says, which works in us both to do and will of His good pleasure. Or to will and do. See, the will comes first, both to will and do of His good pleasure. If Christ is in us, He gives us the desire to do, and then He gives us the ability to do. Now, wrap your mind around that a second. Our DNA transforms us into who we are, and it helps us begin in the transformation process of others. And the Bible very plainly says that we as believers are to start with our own families and instill in them and write upon their hearts the Word of God. We need to begin in our homes. We need to begin teaching our children what it means to have where we come from and where we hail from. And written into our code is this call, church, to be God's people in this world. And then it says really here, inviting them to a life in Jesus. Let me be so bold. This year in 2019, I'm going to throw a challenge out to everyone here and everyone who will listen. This year in 2019, make it your desire and your goal, because we know it's God's will and His goal, to invite one person into the life of Jesus Christ. Now hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying invite someone to come to Connect Church. I'm saying tell them that Jesus Christ loved them so much that He went to the cross for them. And that God has so much power that He can move us from the death to life, from the sin to the eternal, that God can do that for them. And we pass this on. And if we're not willing to do that, we have got a DNA problem. In 2019, if everyone sitting here this morning, not counting the people that will listen, everyone sitting here this morning would invite one person and stick with it and invite one person into the life of Jesus, what do you think that would do in the life of this church? Well, number one, we'd have to go to two services, amen? Besides just the logistical part of that, can you imagine the excitement that would happen with new babies everywhere in Christ? New classes, people that have the gift of teaching are going to have to step up and step in. All these things that can happen in Christ Jesus, if Jesus is at the core and the center of who we are here at this church. 2 Timothy, Paul's telling a young preacher, he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Our DNA identifies us. It puts within us a desire to see others come to Christ. It helps them then begin to transform and become all that they were meant to be and all that we were meant to be. And as Carl comes, I want to kind of share this last point. It's really in the last part of this, the most encouraging part, I think, of this challenge is the promise. This is a challenge to every local church. What I've shared this morning is supposed to be for every local church, not just our church. We're a little different than other churches, but everyone's mission is the same. This is the mission and the commission that God has given His church. And you think, man, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. Well, listen, DNA also has a confirmation. You know, when you prick that thing, your finger, and send it in that little vial and send it in, they send you back a confirmation of who you belong to. They send you back. I had a DNA test several years ago for my health. And I was shocked at how well that test knew me. Talked about how what I should eat, what I shouldn't eat, what kind of exercise, how long of exercise. It really began to change me because of the confirmation of my DNA. I was trying to live a life outside of how I was created. My self-worth was in the toilet. I was overweight. I got depressed. Not that I'm not still overweight, but I've lost a lot of weight. I'm more excited than I've been. I'm like a kid again. But when you start responding of how you were created and begin to act out of that, there is something transformational, something amazing that happens, and we start becoming who we were intended to be, and we don't have to do it by ourselves. The Word of God says, and remember this, church, remember this, followers of Jesus Christ, I am with you always to the end of the age. It makes me want to start singing that song, I Got the Power. Amen? I mean, if God be for us, who can be against us? My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that I can ask or imagine. That's the God that has the DNA in me and the DNA in you if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Church, if you are in Christ, you will be on mission for Christ and with Christ. Not just on mission, but with Christ. He is our engine. He is at the center. He is what drives. It's who we are. It's in our DNA. It's in our DNA. And as I was thinking, even this morning, I was praying. I said, God, how do I kind of wrap this up? Remember I told you that DNA has those four building blocks. They're different letters. Let me see if I can find them real quick. It's very interesting to me. We see it's the letters are C, T, G, and A. You can pronounce them however you want to. But they all come together for functioning and development of what it was created to be. This is so God. Since God instituted DNA, there are four building blocks in the church that will help us become what we have meant to be. Number one, it is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you. Let's pray. Father, it's in Jesus' name, and it is in the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that we bow before you. God, this year we don't want to stay the same. We want to blossom into who you've created us to be. From the inside out, Lord, change us. Father, for those this morning who can't answer the question whose they are, Holy Spirit, right now, would you just speak a gentle word to their soul? Break down the barriers, and right now, Holy Spirit, would you just whisper to them, I love you. I love you. I love you. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to exchange Jesus to be the center strand of your life. I want you to experience life of how I created you to experience life. Some of you here this morning are starting off a brand new year. You don't know whose you are. You hope you're Jesus's, but you don't know for sure. Today is the day where you can nail that down. Today is the day, through the Holy Spirit, you can receive your confirmation. You see, that knocking at the heart, that's not the enemy. That's Jesus saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The handle's on the inside, folks. He's not going to force his way in. Would you open the door and say, come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Please come in and take over and be center of my life. Church, this is, I believe, that he was talking to disciples as well, and he's wanting us to remember whose we are and who we are. We are his disciples, and as his disciples, he has given us both commission and mission. You might say he's given us commission to do the mission. 2019, I hope that you'll join us. I hope that you'll be a part of fulfilling the great commission, which, oh, by the way, helps us fulfill the great commandment that we are loved to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second commandment, which is great as well, it says, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if we truly love God, this church will make disciples of Jesus Christ. We'll love God, we'll love people, and we will we will impact this world. Father, in Jesus' name, again, power of your Holy Spirit, speak, God. Speak, God. I pray now that you would just do your work like only you can do from the inside out. Father, that men and women and students all over this worship center, Father, would begin to cry out to you from the inner person and saying, God, reveal to me what it is you want me to do. Reveal to me what needs to change in my life. Reveal to me, God, who I am. As God leads you, as God shows you, I encourage you, church, I encourage you as individuals to step out of your seats. Come and kneel at this altar. Come and just tell God in your own words to say, God, I'm making a commitment in 2019 for you to be at the core of my life and with your help, the core of this church.